Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers lost their second straight game to the Diamondbacks. Dustin May looked really bad. We're going to talk about Dustin May's lack of command, his poor performance. Going to talk about Miguel Vargas and his chances of doing anything the rest of this season or into the postseason. We're going to talk about some news about some relievers, and we're going to talk just in general about our concerns about the approach and the intensity and all that that the Dodgers have shown the last couple days. So, all that to get to, so let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time watching or listening, I am Jeff Snyder. Wow. Of all the words I stumble over, it's my own name. The guy next to me is Vince Samperio. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Vince, I mispronounced my own name. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing a little bit better than that, I would hope.
I hope so, too, because I'm counting on you to carry this episode, apparently. I think we're both probably doing a little bit better than the Dodgers have been doing the last couple days. The Dodgers are 1 5-run inning away from having lost three games in a row to the D-backs in 2 days. They did come back and win game one of the doubleheader yesterday, but they played uninspired, sloppy baseball in the second game of the doubleheader. And then Madison Bumgarner used to be a good pitcher. He's not anymore. And yet the Dodgers apparently faced peak Madison Bumgarner on Wednesday night. They got just one hit off of Bumgarner, only had one hit the whole game until the ninth inning when they got back-to-back hits that didn't amount to anything. But yeah, just a ugly, uninspiring game. But the worst part of it probably was Dustin May's performance. After, you know, he had two good performances against the Marlins, fresh off the injured list, had two subpar performances against the Padres, and then on whenever it was, Friday night, I think, against the Giants, he threw 5 no-hit innings. Looked really, really good, and I think we were all hoping for more of the same, or at least something to build on from that. And instead, his command just wasn't there. You know, he walked two guys. Both of those guys ended up scoring. I think they both stole second and then scored on Christian Walker singles. But then the big hit was obviously in the fourth inning when, with one out, two hits and a hit batter loaded the bases, and then Corbin Carroll unloaded the bases with a 3-run double that kind of put the game away. And even though he only had two walks, I felt like the big issue with May in this game was command. He wasn't getting ahead of hitters. He was getting into hitters' counts. And the reason hitters' counts are called hitters' counts is because good results for the hitters often come from those counts. And when you're pitching in good hitters' counts a lot, you're going to have a hard time getting outs. And, May ended up allowing 10 base runners in 4 innings and throwing almost 80 pitches. So, I don't know. Obviously, this game was ugly. How concerned are you about Dustin May, Vince?
Yeah, I mean, even with some of the performances he's had that have been positive, it still hasn't instilled, you know, the Dustin May vibe that I had been hoping for, waiting for, you know, the type of guy that can kind of not replace, but maybe fill in for the most part what Walker Buehler gives to the Dodgers in October. And the way it's going, it's not even a guarantee that he'll be throwing in October, although, or at least not starting or being like a set starter. You know, we've talked about piggyback and everything else. And, you know, he talked about it too. He said, quote, "I'm at a point now where I feel comfortable with everything. I just need to go out there and execute. It's not really a thing with Tommy John anymore. I just need to go out and throw strikes." And, you know, I guess the good part is that he doesn't feel the residual effects from Tommy John, at least physically he doesn't. Mechanically, he might be fighting some of those things and still trying to figure things out. The good thing is he has probably 2-3 times through to figure it out. But we're getting to the point where it's mildly concerning that he hasn't figured it out, and that it's not a matter of like he's progressively getting better, progressively getting worse. It's just kind of you don't exactly know what's going to happen when he takes the mound right now.
Yeah, and the stuff was pretty good. He had 12 swings and misses in four innings, which is, although four innings, you know, it's 20-something batters because he did allow 10 base runners and five runs. So it's a little misleading there. But still, 12 swings and misses is nothing to sneeze at. Pretty solid. It's just, yeah, that command thing. And you would hope that that's a temporary thing. This is some, I mean, anybody who's been watching the Dodgers since 2019 wasn't surprised, like, the sight of Dustin May throwing the ball and not appearing to have any idea where it's going to go is something that those of us with somewhat lengthy memories are familiar with. But it was something we had hoped was in the past. And, you know, I guess if I'm looking for a silver lining, it's that just his last start, he had great command. He looked very, very good. And so while it was definitely not there on Wednesday night, the fact that it was there, it's like, you know, when they talk about max exit velocity is a way to judge a guy's power, because if he's done it once, that means he has that capability. If a guy has maxed out at 85 miles an hour exit velocity, he's never going to be a power hitter. But if he's hit it 110 miles an hour, even one time, you know, okay, the power is there. Now it's figuring out how to get consistent with it. And it's kind of the same thing with May. We've seen him have command. So it's his next two starts, he could be lights out. I think the hard part, the scary part is going into October, if we haven't figured it out, haven't, you know, gotten consistent command, it would be kind of nerve wracking to send him out there in a postseason game. The way he, for sure, the way he looked on Wednesday, and even just, his overall body of work since coming back, I don't think he's shown enough consistency to feel comfortable.
Yeah. And that's really what it is, even with Andrew Heaney, you know, he's going to be, as far as what we've seen so far, he's going to be good. He's going to miss bats, but he might give up some home runs. Tyler Anderson, not going to miss as many bats, but has pretty much been consistent throughout the year. You know, 5, 6, 7 innings, 2, 3 runs, you know, with an occasional blip on the radar. Kershaw the same, Julio the same. Dustin May is that guy that right now you don't know what you're going to get out of him. And it's not, you know, something we can rest our laurels on of his previous performance in the postseason. And also, that's been a little bit inconsistent as well. He's also been in inconsistent roles in those times based on, you know, for a variety of reasons. But I think it's a matter of, I don't know. I don't know if he feels pressure. I don't know if he feels like he needs to be finer, or, you know, I don't know if there's anything there, but I do think that he'll figure it out. And I do think that the Dodgers, you know, would benefit from making sure that he knows and understands, like, hey, we're going to need you for this playoff run. We don't, you know, it's a matter of need and need, I guess, need in all caps and need in lower caps or something like that, where, yeah, they need him to, you know, make this run, but they don't need him in order to be successful. You know, and if you can tell that difference, then you've probably been watching this podcast long enough to know what we mean.
Yeah, the need, there's definitely two different kinds of need. And you know, that need may get a little bit stronger with some of the news we got on Wednesday, which we're going to talk about in just a minute, which is that one reliever who we had been hoping for, we got a little bit of bad news, and, you know, he's not ruled out for the postseason, but his chances of being on the postseason roster have gone down a little bit. So we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about Miguel Vargas and his chances of being on the postseason roster. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Hey, let me tell you a story about me. I'm old. I'm a lot older than I used to be. I may not be as old as some of you guys, and so I apologize if you feel like I'm calling you old, but look at all this gray hair. I'm old. I am not in great shape, and I feel like the older I get, the harder it is to get the energy to be active and get in shape. I used to feel easy when I was younger. I've always been a big dude, but I was a big athletic guy. Now I'm just kind of a big guy. And if you want more energy to counter the negative physical effects of aging, Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock, re-energize your workouts, get you better results at the gym, and help you look and feel like the man you really want to be. Eugenics Total Tea contains man-boosting key ingredients like testosterone. It's been validated in 5 clinical studies shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. While every product professes quality, many other products use generic ingredients that are often far less than clinical grade. With Eugenics Total Tea, you get the same clinical potency levels used in the trials. And Eugenics' formulation is backed by 10 years of science and research. Eugenics Total Tea is the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. It can help you re-energize your life and help you get back the powerful, confident, and good-looking warrior you used to be. Now get a complimentary bottle of Eugenics Total Tea when you text MLB to 231231. Text now and get a bottle of Eugenics Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text MLB to 231231. That's text MLB to 231231. Message and data rates may apply. Terms apply. Available at Eugenics.com/terms. All right, Vince, we are back and plenty more to talk about. We're going to talk more about this game in specific in our last segment, but we have a little bit of news and then want to talk a little bit about one particular position player, but let's talk the news first. On Monday, Dave Roberts, Dave Roberts talking to the media said that the plan, Blake Treinen had thrown a bullpen session or a sim game or something. And he said, assuming he comes out of it all right, the plan is to activate him on Thursday. We found out on Wednesday that apparently he did not come out of it all right, because the plan is no longer to activate Blake Treinen on Thursday. The plan now is to activate Brusdar Graterol. It's kind of funny. Treinen and Graterol have been lumped together the last couple months. You know, they were both on the IL. Treinen had been on the IL a lot longer than Graterol, but they were both on the IL with shoulder issues. They went on rehab about the same time, came back around the same time, and were both back for a short time, and then both went back on the injured list, Treinen with another shoulder issue that was theoretically different than the previous shoulder issue, and then Graterol with an elbow issue. Well, they got unlumped together on Wednesday because Graterol is being activated today, Thursday. Presumably, Michael Grove will be optioned to make room for Graterol on the roster. And Blake Treinen, you know, Dave Roberts said he didn't respond the way we all hoped he would. And somebody asked him how confident Dave Roberts is that Blake Treinen will be ready for the postseason. Is it a win or is it still an if? And Dave Roberts said it's an if. He's not even willing to say Blake Treinen is going to be ready for the postseason. Now, there's two ways of looking at this, Vince. There's the one side of, Blake Treinen was the Dodgers' best reliever in 2021. It would have been awesome to have him back. The flip side of that is the Dodgers have had one of the best bullpens in baseball this year, and they've gotten a grand total of 5 innings from Blake Treinen. So they've shown that they can be good without Blake Treinen. But it kind of, I think for most of us Dodger fans, it was like, I think our thinking has been, man, if we're this good without Treinen, imagine how good we could be with Treinen. And I don't know. It seems like you're setting yourself up for disappointment if we're still hoping for that at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, when it comes down to it and when you think about it, it's just, you know, postseason, different beasts. You're facing better teams. You know, the Dodgers at this point, luckily, have played the Giants, Rockies, and D-backs, and even Padres to a certain extent. You know, they've dominated the NL West. And realistically, the Padres are the only team that they could potentially play in the postseason from those guys. So when you think about, like, you know, you read all the stats down and, you know, best starters and best relievers and everything else, and you're like, okay, that's great. You know, obviously that you need that to get to this point, but it's also a matter of you still need your guys to be guys when it comes to October. And we've seen that before. Blake Treinen has been one of those guys for the Dodgers, and him not being there, you know, hurts for sure, but it's also a matter of you look at what other guys they have. And when you look at that part, then you can say, okay, they can figure it out, and, you know, they can get by without Treinen, similar to like the Dustin May, the knee-to-knee type of thing. And you look at, you know, Evan Phillips has been a guy. Craig Kimbrough's been better of late, and now realistically is going to be, you know, probably one of those guys closing out games for the Dodgers. And then you go around, you know, Chris Martin's been good since they picked him up. We can see what Graterol gives you. Graterol, besides the up and down and injuries or whatever in regular seasons, he's been really good in the postseason for the Dodgers in his career so far. So and then all the other arms that they have. So they have the arms to withstand this, but yeah, it's a matter of, man, had they had Blake Treinen and, you know, a guy like Phil Bickford, or, you know, they have to decide between Ferguson and Vessier, or they have to decide between which starters they want to take, make that decision harder. This one just, you know, leaves you a little bit less margin for error, but I still think, you know, overall, it's still a pretty strong bullpen, and they can get it done.
Yeah, and for me, the fact that they are getting Gratterall back, you know, fingers crossed that he can stay healthy, because honestly, for me right now, my confidence level is higher in Gratterall than in Treinen anyway, just because it's been so long since Treinen has thrown any significant number of innings. Gratterall, since June 5th, his ERA is 0.89. Now, that's only 19 games since June 5th. You know, that's 3.5 months because of the injuries. But if he can get back in time, you know, we've got two-ish weeks left in the season. If he can throw enough innings, you know, to really – with a reliever, you don't have to get built up. They're not going to – he's probably not even going to have an up-down in the postseason. He's going to be a one-inning guy, but he can be a guy in that one inning. With his stuff, he's looked really, really good. His 2022 season started off pretty poorly, but like I said, he's been awesome his last 19 games. And if he's healthy, I feel like he's a huge boost to that bullpen. You know, obviously Kimbrel being effective version of Kimbrel is very important. Evan Phillips is somebody we can count on. Yency Almonte is doing a rehab stint soon. You know, he might be back. There's so many guys, and we've talked about this. There's 16 to 18 pitchers who could make a case that they deserve to be on the 13-man pitching staff. And, you know, if Blake Treinen is out, that's down to 15 to 17 guys. And there's some that are the case is less strong than others. You know, I talked about Phil Bickford the other day. He gave up a home run on Tuesday night, but that's the first run he's allowed in a few weeks. Even he's been really good lately. And so, you know, there's definitely potential to get it done with what they have, but it is a bummer about Treinen, but I'm excited about Gratterall. And the other thing we want to talk about is Miguel Vargas. He got called up in September, the one extra position player they added, and Dave Roberts said at the time that he's going to be given a chance to earn a spot on the postseason roster, and that's partially true. He hasn't really gotten much playing time, and when he has gotten playing time, he hasn't really shown much. He hasn't been the hitter we expected him to be based on his success in the minors. And, you know, there's a long history of Dodgers prospects performing better in AAA than in the majors, especially recent history. I do think that Miguel Vargas is a very good hitter, and I think he's going to be a very good hitter. But it seems to me like we've kind of reached a point where there's no chance he's making the postseason roster, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Barring injury, obviously, that's always the outlier. But, yeah, he just – it's a matter of, you know, consistent at-bats. Has he received consistent at-bats? Not necessarily, but has he done anything in the at-bats that he has gotten? Not really. I mean, he only has a handful of hits. He's not striking out a lot, but he's just not getting hits. And he's not, you know, it's not a matter of, oh, man, he's, like, hitting the ball really hard and getting unlucky. It's just kind of been a mixed bag of flyouts, groundouts, you know, whatever the case, pop-outs, different things that he's had. And even the hits that he's had after his first hit, you know, that was a nice-looking double deep in the gap over there in San Francisco. Ever since then, you know, even the couple hits he had the other night, they weren't, like, jaw-dropping, inspiring hits. They were – one of them was more of a kind of an air infield single type. The other one was, you know, another single. So, yeah, it hasn't worked out. It you know, and there hasn't been a lot of guys that have been able to do that. You know, Gavin Lux was one guy that was able to come up and fight his way and make the postseason roster. You know, Corey Seager back in the day came up in the last month and a half or whatever it was, and, you know, took the job from Jimmy Rollins and became a guy. But it's hard to do so, and especially on a team like the Dodgers, where everyone around you is an all-star, former all-star, or, you know, above average for the most part. And then I think the other part too that just hurts him is defensively, he doesn't bring you strong defense at any spot really. And at that point, if you're not hitting and you're not bringing strong defense, then the Dodgers can go with someone else, you know, a la Cody Bellinger, who even if he's not hitting, he brings you strong defense.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to make, that he kind of has nobody to blame but himself for not getting more plate appearances, because there really isn't, and I shouldn't say it that way, nobody blame but himself. It's not necessarily his fault. He's not a good defender anywhere. You know, his best position is probably first base. Guess what? The Dodgers have a guy at first base who plays every day. And the reason it's his best position is because you can hide a bad defender there. But, you know, we've seen him in left field the last 2 days, and he hasn't made any errors, but he hasn't looked like a guy you're happy to have in left field, you know. And it's something that over the years, it's easy to overlook just when you're talking in theory. Oh, he hits so well, you could put him in left field and he'll be fine, you know. But then when you actually watch a guy play in left field, you know, when you watch Matt Kemp, even in 2018 when Matt Kemp was hitting well, it's like, okay, he has no range in left field. You know, AJ Pollock had stretches like that where his left field looked really bad. Jock Peterson, you know, and yeah, it's when we've had guys like Chris Taylor and Trace Thompson playing out there in left field, it's a very noticeable difference when you put Vargas out there. And for me, that's the biggest thing. Like, I wouldn't be surprised now that Kevin Pillar is on a rehab assignment. I wouldn't be surprised if Pillar has a better chance of making the postseason roster than Vargas does, simply because Pillar can play defense and he's unlikely to hit worse than Vargas has so far, you know, and realistically, you know, it's coming down to Vargas's only real chance was to push Hanser Alberto off the roster anyway. And Hanser definitely has more positional flexibility, but I can see a guy like Pillar pushing Hanser off the roster simply because with Chris Taylor being able to play the infield, with Mookie Betts even being able to play the infield, you could replace Hanser's positional flexibility with a guy like Kevin Pillar, you know, a right-handed bat off the bench or whatever. And, you know, if he comes in to pinch hit in the seventh inning sometime, okay, yeah, last couple of innings, we're going to move Mookie to second base and Lux to, you know, wherever, you know, whatever you need to do to get Pillar in the game. You know, but yeah, it seems like Vargas, I'm still high on him long-term for his career, but I think I've seen about all I need to see for 2022 as far as what we're going to get from him in October.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about kind of just these last 2 days in general, the lackluster play by the Dodgers. And we're going to talk about whether we're concerned about it and what we think they ought to do about it, if anything. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. And please keep it Locked On Dodgers. All right, Vince, we have returned for our final segment. The Dodgers have scored in their last two games. I don't even remember what the final score was in the second game of the doubleheader. I know it wasn't good. Two runs, I think, in that game. And
yeah, 5-2 loss.
Yeah, so they've been outscored 11-3 in the last two games by the Diamondbacks. And now the Diamondbacks are a better team than a lot of people give them credit for. I think if you look at their record, if they hadn't had to play the Dodgers this year, they'd be over 500. I think they've been better than people expected them to be. They have a lot of young talent. But, you know, the second game of the doubleheader was frustrating because of the defense. And then this one, obviously Dustin May didn't help, but not being able to hit Madison Bumgarner, maybe it's just because it's Bumgarner. We've talked in the past about how it's more fun to beat Bumgarner than it is to beat most pitchers. And the flip side of that is it's a lot less fun to lose to Bumgarner than, you know, if the Dodgers lose to Zach Gallen, I can say, well, Zach Gallen's really good. You know, I hope they don't, because now they've put themselves in a situation where in order to win the series, they have to beat Zach Gallen. We'll talk about that in a minute maybe, but losing to Bumgarner, I it's hard for me to swallow. And some of that is management decisions. You know, Dave Roberts went with the righty heavy lineup against Bumgarner. Freddie Freeman was the only lefty in the lineup, which means Max Muncy was sitting, Cody Bellinger was sitting, Gavin Lux was sitting, you know, and Will Smith was sitting. Austin Barnes caught, and the way the Diamondbacks run the bases, having a combination of Dustin May and Austin Barnes, it was basically, you know, flash a neon sign, please steal second base. And so, if nothing else, today's game should be better in that way with Julio pitching and Will Smith catching, you know, oh, a strong arm and a guy who's good at holding runners on. Maybe they can control that a little bit. You know, a couple of those runs don't score if not for stolen bases, you know, but I almost feel like, and this is where I guess I need to give a disclaimer. I am not overreacting here. I recognize the Dodgers have 103 wins. These games literally don't matter, but I wonder just for the Dodgers mindset, from the players' mindset, if they do matter to them. I think they do matter to them. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have, you know, a group text or even a meeting of like, okay, guys, we lost two in a row. Let's not do that again. Let's make sure that we keep this win every day mentality heading into the postseason. And just, even if it's not a come to Jesus meeting, if it's a just kind of a recentering of their focus, you know, and some of that will be, okay, Miguel Vargas, thanks for playing, but you're not starting anymore. But some of it is just, you know, they hit a lot of lazy flyouts off a bad pitcher. And that's something that hopefully they can figure out.
Yeah, I mean, it's could be a matter of long road trip. They came back home, even though it's the second day or third day back home at this point. You know, you get a little bit comfortable. At some point, you thought, you know, you had to think that maybe a couple of lackluster days were going to come just because this team has been, you know, riding so hot for a while. And, you know, maybe this is that time. Maybe it's just a matter of whatever. The Bumgarner thing is annoying, especially because the Dodgers have done pretty well against bad pitchers this year for the most part. You know, if you think about, you know, Patrick Corbin, who was bad. The Dodgers faced him, and then they just, you know, they pounded him, and they got him out early. And they've done that to Bumgarner in the past, especially in recent years. And he's been really bad this year, one of the worst pitchers in baseball, one of the worst, like, full-time starting pitchers. So that part was a little annoying. But, yeah, I think it's just a matter of whatever it is, figure it out. You're back home now. You're sleeping in your bed. Maybe you got a little bit relaxed, and then, you don't, you know, now what? Step it up. Here it is. You know, realistically, there's still – even if they don't play well the rest of the way, they're still going to clinch all the other things they need to clinch in terms of securing home field advantage throughout the entire playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, it's the offense shutting down is just the more scary thing to me, just because, you know, everyone, if you listen to this, you know how I feel about October and the Dodgers offense. And, you know, if the Dodgers, like I said, I've always said the Dodgers scored 10 runs a game for the entire season, and then went to the postseason, I'd be scared that they would score 0-2 runs. So that's the important part. But, and the other part was, like, everyone was hot for a while, and now they're, you know, if they don't get hot, there's just a lot there. But I think they'll be fine and figured out. And hopefully, you know, if they can show that they can get to Gallen, that'd be a nice little first step to, okay, I feel better now.
Vince Samperio, eternal optimist. You heard it here first, folks. Yeah, you know, and I guess one silver lining or one positive thing or optimistic view or whatever you want to call it is I think you and I would be more worried if they were just dominant all through September, you know, and I don't know if it would be realistic to be, but, you know, the whole peaking too soon thing or whatever. And, you know, Mookie Betts is streaky. And he hit a home run tonight, but his other at-bats, it was lazy flyouts, you know. And we've seen that earlier this year from Mookie where, oh, he's just missing everything, just hitting a bunch of lazy flyouts. And then he hits a hot streak. And I think if you polled 1,000 Dodger fans and asked them, would you rather have Mookie have his cold streak in September and his hot streak in October or vice versa, 1,000 of them would say, yeah, let's get that cold streak out of the way and get him hot for October. And, you know, I don't know if it's realistic that, you know, I don't know if cold streaks and hot streaks actually work that way on a cyclical basis like that. The other thing that I feel like might be the case is kind of a bell curve of intensity. I don't know that you can, you know, the Dodgers, when they clinched the division, they still had what they have 21 games left when they clinched the division. I don't know if it's realistic to maintain that intensity for those last 21 games. I think it was easy for a couple days to say, all right, don't let up, guys. Don't let up. Still a lot to play for, you know, don't let up. But I don't think it's realistic to keep it for 21 games. And I do think it will be easier as they do get closer to the end of the season, say, all right, guys, we got to pick things up, you know, maybe going to San Diego. It might even hurt a little bit that 14 of their last 17 games are at home. And so they've been at home for a while now, and they're in the middle of a long homestand and then a tiny little short road trip and then another six-game series. You know, it's like between the games not mattering and being at home almost all the time, it's almost like I could see them thinking, well, this doesn't feel like real baseball. And I think as they get closer to the end of the season, closer to October, I think it will start to feel, even if they have to force themselves, they'll start to feel like it's real baseball again and get that intensity back. And I think going to San Diego might help with that, because there's always the Padres are going to be playing for something. And so there's that intensity there. Even with the Cardinals coming to town, the Cardinals are still playing for something. Their games matter. And so I think getting six straight games against teams that still care, I think that'll help. And maybe it'll kickstart the Dodgers a little bit.
Yeah, I thought I was going to say two playoff teams in the next, you know, before the end of the season is nice. You know, I don't know if having six straight against the Rockies at the end of the year is, you know, beneficial or not. Realistically, not beneficial, but at least the games aren't at Coors Field. So that's a big, big, big boost.
Yeah, they should never play games at Coors Field ever again. And by they, I mean any baseball team. All right, I think that does it for today. You got anything else, Vince?
Nothing else.
All right, we will have one more episode this week, hopefully after after Julio beats Zach Gallen to win the series and send them into the Cardinals series on a high note. Dustin May bobblehead night tonight. That should be fun. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Now for your second listen, check out the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, we'd love if you'd add one or two days a month to your rotation. Please tell your friends and family who love the Dodgers as much as you do about this show. Maybe they'll like it too. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.